Lord, thank you for the privilege of studying your word together. And we pray that you bless us now in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Help me review what has happened so far. By the way, we're studying the Bible. We've covered Genesis. Now we're in Exodus. Now that kind of breaks the ice, right? Where did we leave off last week? Moses, Aaron, Pharaoh. Moses went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, obviously you're not busy enough. Let's take away your straw and work harder. Right? Moses went again. He said, apparently this isn't the way it's supposed to work, God. God sends him back. He does the whole rod turns into snake thing. The magicians do what?
Same thing.
What happens, though?
Aaron's rod is hungrier.
Aaron's rod swallows the other ones, all right? Now, did his rod become really fat then? Or I don't know. But who knows, yeah. And then what? Pharaoh said, no big deal. We can do that. Then what? What was the first plague?
Water.
Yeah, water to blood, right?
Yeah.
Hold out your staff over the waters, and it turned it to blood. And as far as we know, it literally turned it to blood. It stunk. It killed all the fish. Some people try to say, well, the Nile turns red annually. It does. There's some kind of algae or something. It turns like a dark green and then a red. And then, it says it's blood. It doesn't say it turns red. And when it turns red annually, it doesn't kill all the fish, right? And it stunk and all that. So, and that's all Pharaoh needed. He said, sorry about that. I didn't realize. I didn't mean to offend you. Go ahead and pack up. You can leave. Is that what he said? What did the magicians do?
Same thing.
Well, that helped. Right? That was, thanks. The one bucket of water I had, I think it was, they said springs weren't affected, so where would they get the water? And also they could dig the side of the river and it would filter it out and you get water from it kind of idea, so. But it just stunk. And then that's where we pick up here, okay? Pharaoh says no.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
This is where the Titans, you might say, occurs where you have the Egyptian gods against the God of Jehovah. This is the beginning of the match.
Yeah, it is, actually. And I don't know if I'm going to hand this out because it'll start a riot. And it has nothing to do with what's on the paper except for the tiny print. I think you'll like my handout, but I squeezed it down into a... double-sided half sheet, but it's pretty small. I'll go ahead and hand them out, but this actually talks, this is from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. You just can't be mad at me, right? I can enlarge them necessarily, but it's from the Bible Knowledge Commentary, and it actually talks about the 10 judgments of God and how it relates to the gods of Egypt. Okay? So the Nile was represented by one of their gods, and of course, when God does whatever he wants to the Nile, that's what's he saying? You're nothing, and I'm the real God, right? And the same thing, guess what comes next? Frogs, right? Did you know that one of their gods had a female body with a head of a frog on it? Now you do. Right, and it was just like in your face kind of things. Whatever God did, he did it in a way that was just like here. Have you ever wrestled when you were a little kid with your dad and you tried to take different tactics and he just countered them like you were nothing? I remember wrestling with my dad that way. You try and I'll just grab your arm and he just snaps your grip like nothing ever, like you weren't holding on at all. And it basically was God saying this is nothing. right? None of these gods were real at all. If anything, if they were anything at all, they were demonic, right? But they certainly weren't of God. They weren't real gods. And that God continually showed them in every way, the Egyptians. Remember, he said, Pharaoh's going to harden his heart so that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, right? So God's goal wasn't just to deliver the Israelites. His goal was to let everybody know that he is the one true God and all of the rest were phony gods, right? And that's what he was able to do. The only thing that you can have to look at right now is number one in the chart. It says the Nile's turned to blood. There was a warning to Pharaoh. Moses went to Pharaoh in the morning. By the way, he probably went to the Nile to worship, is what some commentators say, because the Nile was one of their gods. And of course, he didn't listen. I'm making another chart as we go. I'm putting passages of scripture of what Pharaoh's response was and different things. Now, the chart in the backside, notice the Nile's turned to blood, and this attacked or showed that the God of the Nile was worthless, okay? It's Hapi, also called Apis, the bull god, the god of the Nile, and Isis, goddess of the Nile, and Khnum, ram god, guardian of the Nile. There's three major gods. The god just said, boink, no such thing. They're nothing. I'm everything and you're nothing, right? So that's what God is doing. Now, today we're looking at three different plagues. There's a total of 10. We're going to look at three of them. And one of the things I was talking to my wife about is when you're growing up, they focus on the plagues. And again, is it wrong to focus on the plagues? No, it's not, because the plagues have their place, right? What the plagues are make a difference, and that's, we just talked about that. They attack the gods of the Egyptians. But the way God goes about it, I don't remember talking about it so much. It was just like, here's the 10 plagues, let's move on. Right, here's the 10 plagues, there's Passover, moving right along here. Well, understand what we're trying to capture is that all of this happened, we think, maybe up to a period of over 9 months. Okay, and God did different things at different times. Sometimes he addressed Pharaoh, other times he did it without even talking to Pharaoh. We'll see here. There was a major transition that we'll see. That will change, okay? So let's just jump right in here then, and then go from there. Chapter 8, verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh. I bet you Moses got tired of hearing that, right? But because he knew Pharaoh's heart was going to be hardened, and even when he did, he didn't like it. But go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, what's the message? Let my people go, that they may serve me, right? Same message each time, but different warnings or different threats. So, but if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. And again, we might think frogs. Like, if I'm going to attack my enemy, I'm not thinking frogs. I'm going to bombard you with frogs. Okay? But again, on your chart here, the frogs on the backside, Hecate, goddess of birth, had a frog head. They're related to that. Okay, that's number two on the back side on the chart here. Okay, by the way, off to the side, I'm jumping out of the outline for a minute, and I want to just show you something here. Certain things, Egypt had frogs every year. Okay? They just didn't have frogs like this ever. Okay? But what you can say about the plagues, that God used some things that would normally happen. He did them in a greater way. And I'm going to put on call. And he did away with them on call. Away on call. Okay? So Pharaoh could have said, oh, this is just an unusual year for weather, right? And it's no. Moses brought it, And then at a certain time, he got rid of it. That is not natural. That is miraculous. Okay? And also the quantity of what happened, if you will, was enormous. It wasn't ever like that. Turned it on call, got rid of it on call. So each one of these showed that God was great. Okay, each one of these. And it undermined the magicians. It undermined, undermined Pharaoh, because he isn't as tough as he thinks he is, right? And it undermined gods with the little g of Egypt. Okay? And it proved God as God. And by the way, it proved God as God to Pharaoh, the Egyptians, the Israelites, even. Okay? So all of the above there. All right. So I will smite your territory with frogs. So God knows what he's doing. He knows why he's doing it. It might seem absurd to us, but he's just like totally in your face with regard to their false religion and proving that their gods are powerless and he is the one true God. Okay? Verse 3 now. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom. Now let's just describe this here. Into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. Yeah, the Hebrew word is ew. You know, right? You're just like, have you ever had any infestation or whatever? I've never had anything like this. Where no matter where you're at, you know, you're just exhausted at night because you're trying to cook and the frogs are all over your kitchen. They're in your oven. And you go to lay down at night and what do? You smash a bunch of frogs when you lay down. Right? Life is good. Okay? This is what God said he would do. It hasn't happened yet. And the frogs shall come up on you, on your people, and on all your servants. So God sends Moses to Pharaoh with, I call it, frog threats. Frog threats. The only word you have to put in there is frog, right? You let my people go, or I will send frogs like you have never seen frogs before. You will be frogged out. Okay? Verse 5, then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand. Do you need pens? Who needs pens? Raise your hand if you need a pen. Magic. Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land. Now, were the frogs in existence, or did they come into existence? I think probably the latter because of the number. But maybe they just decided to, hey, we don't like the water anymore. We like your bed, right? Okay. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. By the way, it doesn't really say anything about Moses going to Pharaoh, but it implies that he did, and Pharaoh said, pfft, right? So they did the frogs. So God uses Aaron to bring frogs throughout Egypt. And again, we're talking frog infestation. We're talking frogs everywhere. Okay? And it's throughout the land. It's not like, oh, wow, have you heard about the little infestation that's over here? It's throughout the land of Egypt. I mean, did the place turn green or what? You know, I don't know, but it sounds like that. Wherever the people were, that's where the frogs were at. You know, you write to your auntie, and dear auntie, we have frogs here. And she writes that, we have frogs here too. They're everywhere, right? Verse 7, and the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. So number three, the magicians copy the miracle, at least to some degree. Now, a couple problems with this. What are they?
More frogs.
Yeah. Oh, my leg hurts. Well, I can do that. Now my other leg hurts. You know, you have fixed nothing. It's like, wow, you guys are amazing. You know, you've only made it worse.
This is actually getting in the face of God, because if God can do it, I can do it too. If I can do it too, that shows that your God is no different than my God.
Well, they're trying to counter that to some degree. However, adding to the problem only shows that they really have little power at this point, right? They've repeated the rod to serpent. They repeated the blood, water to blood. And now they made more frogs. I'm not even sure how you validate that. But apparently, the Bible doesn't seek to counter that. I don't think they're faking it, because, you know, maybe the devil has power to bring more, you know, there's frogs over here, so he just moved a bunch of frogs over or something. I don't know. Okay. But the Bible doesn't seem to counter that. And there, I have to say that because of what's coming up. Okay. I don't think they're faking it, because the next thing that happens, they can't do. And I would think it would be easier to lie about that than it would have been about the frogs. So, okay. Verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may sacrifice to the Lord." So verse 4, or number 4. Pharaoh says, "Take frogs away. People can go." Okay, think with me a little bit. Because Pharaoh said this, what is he saying? What is he saying about himself? What is he saying about his gods? What is he saying about his magicians? I can't. Pharaoh, right? They can't. The gods, right? They can't. Magicians, right? A lot of help you are. We just have more of them now. Your God. Pardon me? It tells us, actually, I think. And this one. It actually tells us. So these are four implied admissions through all of this. I can't do anything about it. I'm Pharaoh, most powerful ruler in all of the world. I guess I'm not that powerful after all, right? And number two, I have all these gods, but I guess if they're gods, they're not as powerful as your God. Number three, my magicians, well, all they've done so far is give me more of bad, okay? So I'm going to take their heads off, but that's another, you know, little story. And then, but your God can. Please entreat your God to take the frogs away, all right? Where are we at as far as the plagues? Technically, the second plague, the rod, the serpent thing was more of a sign. It's not a plague, right? This is the second one. He's like, okay, uncle, right? Says this, right? Now, verse 9. And Moses said to Pharaoh, "Accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants and for your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your house, that they may remain in the river only." So we don't want to wipe out all the frogs, right? Frogs are good. They eat bugs. Just back to where they belong. So he said, this is kind of amazing. What does Pharaoh say? Moses says, you pick when, right? And by the way, that's the answer here, when. Moses lets Pharaoh pick when, right? Okay, I'll give you the honor. And the Bible even says it that way. Accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you. When do you want this to happen? So Pharaoh says, what? Are you getting used to that gushy feeling at night? I mean, are you starting to develop a taste for frog guts in your bread? What is wrong with this picture? I think it just shows an obstinate man. All right? Now, what does the time have to do with anything? Not necessarily tomorrow, but I'm saying, what do you think maybe he's thinking? I'll pick a particular time to try and make sure that it's you that's doing this rather than some weird thing, right? Maybe. Doesn't really say that, but you know. Have you ever watched a magician and you're like, well, show me both hands. Open your mouth. You know, where's the ping pong ball? Where's the quarter that you pull out of my ear, you know, or whatever? Maybe Pharaoh's trying to do that. Like, what, you know, I'm just trying to make sure this is not natural, this is unusual, or whatever. So tomorrow, and let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. This is Moses saying, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. Someone, and I'm trying to think who the guy's name is. Pastor Jim's probably seen this book years ago, but someone wrote a sermon called One More Night with the Frogs. And just the, if you will, the sinful attitude that we sometimes have with sin. That we would rather be in our misery than obey God. And Pharaoh was that way. Okay? Verse 11, then, and the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses and from your servants and from your people. They shall remain in the river only. Okay? So you do the honor of when. Tomorrow we'll do this. Okay, so verse 12. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. So Moses cries out to the Lord. Okay, does Moses have the power to do this? To remove the frogs? No, he's simply talking to God, right? God has that power, right? Verse 13, so the Lord did according to the word of Moses. Wow, that's amazing. Just amazing that God will do the bidding of a man at times. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. That's probably one of the understatements in the Bible, right? You know, it just had to be terrible. And by the way, how did God remove all the frogs?
He killed them.
He let them die, right? They died. They let them all die. Except the ones where they belong, right? So that's what makes you think that God produced more and then went back or, you know, something like that. So I think it was miraculous, obviously. But they all up and died, all at once. Can you imagine the stench that would be? And can you imagine if they were that populous, where they were everywhere, wherever you were at, you would spend days cleaning just to get them out of your house. And then the problem is now they're outside your house in piles. Okay, so.
And they died. He didn't get rid of them the same way he brought them.
Right, they just up and die. By the way, here it's, I have to put out of season too, as far as time, because it wasn't even the right time, but it was specifically within windows of time as far as the plagues were there. Okay, verse 15. So Pharaoh, being the honorable man that he was, issued a proclamation and said, Israel, you may go now, as I promised. Or not, right? Verse 15, but when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said. God said, Pharaoh's going to harden his heart. Okay? There's a pride thing. There's a shake your fist against God thing. There's a nobody's going to make me do something. So Pharaoh hardens his heart and would not let them go. Okay? You'll hear that a lot. Okay? Verse 16, so the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron. By the way, what's missing here? Say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so it may become lice throughout the land of Egypt. What's missing?
Well, I kind of wondered why God didn't talk to Aaron.
Because Pharaoh was, or Moses was the leader. He said, I can't talk, I'm not very good at it. So Aaron is his helper. God picked Moses to lead. So Aaron is kind of his helper.
Aaron had the rod. Aaron was carrying the rod, wasn't Moses.
I think that you'll will see that Moses also had a rod. It's interesting, but some of the plagues are done by Aaron and his rod. Others are done by Moses and his rod. And others are done just without any rod at all. Like Passover didn't take any rod, right? At all. So you'll see that. So what's missing though? I mean, if you look in verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, what? Yeah, he didn't go to Pharaoh.
What I mean.
There we go. He didn't go to Pharaoh this time. He didn't say, Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him, now if you don't do this, we're going to do this. He just did it. God says to Moses, have Aaron stretch forth his rod, strike the dust in the land so it may become lice through all the land of Egypt. Number 9, then God instructs Moses to bring, do not write anything yet. The word in Hebrew is not lice as much as lices. In fact, most of the other translations, anyone have anything but the New King James here? Open up. This doesn't make it better. Gnats. The word for gnats. Anyone like gnats? Frogs and then gnats. Now, normally when we see gnats in Iowa anyway, at least most of them, I remember mostly of a camp. I know there are other places, but that's, you would see like a, almost a column of them kind of around, you know, like straight up and down kind of thing. They're just in a little hovering cloud. And then if you're not paying attention, you walk through, you're like, and you're picking gnats out of your teeth and your eyes and your ears and stuff. Can you imagine that everywhere? Strike the dust of the land that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And again, it's the word for gnats, which again, I don't even know if lice are related to gnats or whatever, but that's enough. That can you imagine what if you're around gnats, what's it even hard to do around there? Gnats are small. You breathe in, you get gnats. Right? Yeah. You know, and then if they're all over, they're like in your eyes, and like I said, they're just all over. There's a few things that are kind of get you more than gnats, even though, I don't know about you, but I haven't had, you know, a place where gnats were everywhere. I've been where mosquitoes are everywhere. But I've never been where, you know, you can walk away from the gnats and there they are. Mosquitoes are everywhere, you know, kind of that. But this was like gnats were everywhere. Verse 17, Aaron stretched out his rod, and verse 17, and they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. And all the dust of the land became lice throughout the land of Egypt. And again, we're talking about gnats. And by the way, I have lice in verse or number 10, but it's, again, gnats by the Hebrew word. Aaron strikes the, what? Dust, right? Well, let's see, number 3 here, gnats on your chart. Set, the god of the desert. He's the god of the land. Well, let's just fix your view of the god of the land, shall we? Okay, after we fixed your view of the god of the frogs, okay? So all the dust of the land became lice throughout all of Egypt, okay? Top of the backside now. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice. Okay. They would not impress me anyway at this point, but they could not. Now, like I said, if they were faking it, wouldn't it be easy to fake lice? How would you even know? If lice was everywhere, how would you even know, right? So I don't think they were faking it, because here they could not do it. It says they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, what did they say? Verse 19, this is the finger of God. Not a bad testimony, right? But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord said. So the magicians cannot copy. And what do? I call it blame God. They kind of are like saying, well, this is beyond our power. It's God. They use the kind of the generic term for God. Not Yahweh God here, which is used most of the place here. But the magicians, by the way, you hear them no longer, right? Let's go conjure up some more blood out of water. Let's do something we can do. Let's go back to the laboratory if we can live through that, right? Verse 20, and the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before, where are we back to now? Pharaoh. As he comes out to the water, then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Okay? Why do you think God skipped one going to Pharaoh? Maybe because Pharaoh said he'd let him go, and then he said he wouldn't let him go? That's at least a good guess. God doesn't tell us, but he seemed to like, well, if Pharaoh's not going to do it, bang, here's gnats. But God told Moses that Moses was not impulsing anything. God told Moses to tell Aaron to stretch his rod.
Yeah, in this case, he just, you know, it could be such a thing as strike the ground.
Seems that God was just like, okay, you're not going to let him go. Bing, here's a kind of a penalizing little extra for you. Gnats. How about some gnats? Okay. So, God now tells Moses to go to Pharaoh in the morning, right? As he comes out to the water, most likely to worship, right? Let my people go that they may serve me. That's the same command that God is giving Pharaoh all along. Verse 21 now. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies. See, anyone here have a fly in your house? have you. You like, if you have like one fly, all it takes is one. They like ruin your meal because, you know, you're trying to catch it and you don't want it landing on any of your food, things like that. Can you imagine a house full of flies? Ugh. Anyway, on your people and into your houses, the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. So just get that peaceful, crunchy feeling when you're walking. And in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen in which the people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there in the midst, shall be in there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. So, okay, that one actually should go with number 23. So let me just, verse 13, God threatens Pharaoh with swarms of what? Whoops. This is confront. He sends Moses to confront Pharaoh again, right? He skips one. And then swarms of flies. It doesn't appear that the gnats have left. Maybe they have, but there's no indication that they have. Now, verse 22 and 23, God says, I will set apart the land of Goshen. Now, up to this point, the blood water, you know, water to blood, the frogs and the gnats seem to be everyone, including whom? Why would God do that? Because right now, he says later now, the flies excluding Israel. In Israel's area of Goshen, you know, think of it as Polk County or whatever you want to think of where they lived. God says from here on out, the flies or this will not affect the Israelites, which implies then that the others did. Why would he have let the Israelites suffer that way? Huh? They would have had to dig to get water when the water turned to blood. They would have had stinky piles of frogs and the gnats. Why change now? And why let them go through it in the first place?
Remind them God of
God. Yeah. Have you ever... How do you say it? You do not fully appreciate a warm, sunny day until you've been in a cold, wet one. Fair? That idea? So maybe it emphasizes... Well, I'm getting too many colors here. Let's do green, shall we? This is just side note kind of stuff. But it emphasized... what God could do for them, and I might say would do. I mean, it then emphasized all of a sudden when the flies show up and they don't have the flies, would they not be sensitized to how amazing that would be now that they had all of this other stuff? And it would also emphasize what God could do for them, and that's Israel, right? And then also, God, in this confrontation here, did the same thing to Pharaoh and the rest of the Egyptians, right? Because not only did it emphasize God's power here, to the others, but it would create a distinction between the two, and it constantly would say their God is somebody special and our gods are nothing, right? Our gods aren't anything. So God allowed them to experience the misery of the early plagues, it appears. But then it helped them appreciate what they were being prevented from experiencing later on what God then would say, there, now you have respite, while the Egyptians are still getting all the rest of the plagues. And also the Egyptians, can you imagine living next door to Polk County? You walk across the line and the bees or the flies are there kind of idea. Can you imagine that? You're looking over there and there everything's fine. Okay, the word would get out. Okay? So God separates his people from the plague. Only at this point does he do that. And it seems then from here on out he does. Okay? So that's number 14. Number 15, and the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh. Got to emphasize that a little bit. Into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. Flies ruin food, right? It ruins anything. Okay? So God sends thick swarms of flies. And that sounds crazy. Crazy nasty, okay? All right. Number 16. By the way, flies in number 4. Re, a sun god, or got the god Uatchit, possibly represented by the fly. Okay? Because they had different manifestations, their gods. The fly represented their gods. So it's just like, again, saying, well, here, let's show you that this god is worthless too. Verse 25, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go, sacrifice to your God in the land. What is Pharaoh saying? Pharaoh says, go and sacrifice here in Egypt. He's trying to negotiate at this point. Okay? It's interesting, but Moses responds with detail. He tries to reason with him a little bit. Verse 26 says, and Moses said, it's not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Remember when the Israelites, the sons of Jacob first went in there, they were shepherds, and that's an abomination to the Egyptians. Well, nothing has changed there. One commentary said that it would cause riots. Now maybe it would be like burning the Quran or something, to them. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? Moses says, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us. So number 17 is simply the number 3. Number 18, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me. So Pharaoh says, go sacrifice, but not very far away. So 3 days journey in the wilderness, maybe Moses says, well, that's what I mean. Maybe we agree on this or something. But he says, not far away. Moses seems to accept it, so maybe he thinks they're on the same terms or something. Verse 29, and Moses said, indeed, I'm going out from you, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. So Moses says, and by the way, this is like a total offensive thing to say, apparently, to Pharaoh, because he's supposed to be the essence of purity and goodness by the virtue of the way Egyptians define that position. Don't deal deceitfully anymore. Okay? Don't deal deceitfully anymore. So Moses is just being a straight talker here. Verse 31, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. That's an outstanding, amazing statement. God removes the swarms of flies. Wow. Again, God is turning things on and taking them away. Just bing, bing, bing. Okay? Only God can do that. He's the creator God. He's in control of all of his creation. Verse 32, but Pharaoh, what? He hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. So hardens, yes, again. All right. And the reason why we're covering this, you know, we're working through scripture, verse by verse kind of thing, at least in this area, is so you can see the process, not just the plague, but what God does and how he does it. Okay? And he's honestly showing the Israelites something different because of the way he separated his people now and all that. So he's accomplishing to it. Why not just do the Passover at the beginning, right? What was the Passover? Kill the oldest child. Kill the oldest of any family, right? Why didn't he just do that? He had things to show them. He wanted them to know. He wanted the Israelites to know that there's a God, right? That he indeed is that God, right? And not the other guys. He wanted the Egyptians to know that their gods are worthless nothings. They have no power, right? And then he's showing the Israelites again that God can be their comfort. God can be their whatever. And by the way, remember they believed God, and then when Moses went to Pharaoh, then all of a sudden they didn't think that they wanted to believe in him anymore. God was working in their hearts and lives to get them to rely upon the greatness of God. And then maybe when the separation between what was happening to the Egyptians and the Israelites then, the goodness of God, right? So all of that happened, and maybe they're starting to build their faith a little bit to actually take God at his word that maybe this is going to work, right? Maybe we are going to leave, as Moses said originally. That we originally said, yes, this is going to happen. Okay? Questions or comments? I guess this one didn't say how long. There's one that did for 7 days. That was the blood. And the water said for 7 days. So most of these seem like it was on and then off again. And by the way, that was probably enough. You know, the frogs may, oh, let's wait till tomorrow. You know, but...
What interests me was the fact that when Moses went before Pharaoh, why it doesn't indicate that the plagues bothered Moses and Aaron, and yet bothered Pharaoh and his magicians.
Yeah, was there some kind of little force field around Moses and Aaron? They walked through all the gnats divided, or what else?
Yeah, that would kind of throw a thrill into me if somebody came to me and if I was being plagued with something and they're not being plagued by it, I'm going to go, okay, this is waking me up a little bit.
Can you imagine Pharaoh's like trying to talk and frogs are jumping all over him and stuff like that? I mean, that's not out of the possibly, or he's trying to talk and the gnats are. You know, every time he takes a deep breath, he's choking himself. Yeah, yeah. So, all right. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the time we've had in your word. We pray, Lord, that we would, Lord, acknowledge your greatness and your goodness. Help us to rest in your power and your provision for us. Help us to, Lord, also... embrace your promises, Lord, because if you say something, you have the power to make it happen. And we just want to rest in your promises. We pray that you would bless us as we do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.